Christmas time. A lot of different things about Christmas, but this time of year that most people exchange gifts, one kind or another. Part of the Christmas story is the wise men bringing gifts to little baby Jesus. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." People do it different ways. I'm sure your family has a tradition that you follow as far as Christmas time and the giving of gifts. So I mentioned earlier, we've done it different ways at different times. But the book of James, the verse that we read tonight, reminds us that every good, every perfect gift, and again, notice that word perfect. It doesn't mean perfect from the sense that there's nothing wrong with it. When the word perfect is used in the New Testament, as it is in this verse, it means complete. So every good and every complete gift is from above and cometh down from the Father. And tonight, I speak on the subject, the greatest gift. Now, you that were here for our Christmas banquet, I'm going to say some of the same things that Brother Richie did when he talked about the unspeakable gift from the book of Peter. And again, as I mentioned this morning, because the Sunday school lesson was so much like Brother Andy preached last Sunday morning, I don't worry about when God directs us to the same passage of Scripture for a couple weeks in a row, because it means that he must have something that he wants us to have. Just so you know, I had my sermons all lined up for today before last weekend. I know some of you got a little upset with me for taking so much time off in the month of November and then the first Sunday in December and having other people preach. And so I was anxious to go. I had my sermons already, and then when Andy preached on Sunday morning what he preached, I said, well, the Sunday school lesson's going to repeat that. And then when Brother Richie talked to us Saturday night at the banquet, and I knew what I was going to preach tonight, again, I don't worry about it because God's the one that's doing the directing, and we're just the actors that are supposed to follow his instructions. And so he wants us to think about that gift that God gave us, the unspeakable gift, the greatest gift. But God's given us a lot of wonderful gifts. Our spouses are a gift from God. Some of you have kiddingly asked me the last few weeks, how married life? And I've responded to every one of you, it's wonderful. It's just wonderful. It agrees with me. I think my spouse is a gift from God. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that Adam needed a helpmeet, and so God made Eve and brought her to Adam. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now you see, Adam didn't have the example that we have. Every single one of us had a mom and dad. Every single one of us, and again, maybe you didn't have, maybe something happened in your childhood and your mom or your dad were absent at an early age. But for the most part, the people in this room had a mom and dad that they could look to as an example of what a husband and wife should be. Adam didn't have a mom and dad. Eve didn't have a mom and dad. And so when God gave Eve to Adam, Adam knew that he had a gift from God that nobody in the world had had to that point. I mean, it was a unique gift. Tonight, I just want to remind you, your spouse is a gift from God. Your wife, your husband, is a gift from God. And I know some of you might be saying, well, preacher, you don't know mine very well. I don't need to know them. I know that when God gave you your spouse, he gave you a gift, a wonderful gift. And if you considered each other a gift from God, and this is why I try to get across to every couple that I marry, I mean, if truly you're marrying God in God's will, then he's made that person for you. And if God has made that person for you and you consider them as a gift from God, maybe you'd treat each other the way you ought to treat each other and you wouldn't have to say, well, you don't know mine. I don't need to know yours. I know that God has given you that gift. Children are a gift from the Lord. I didn't say it tonight, but it was a blessing to me that Arnie didn't come diving into the baptistry this morning. I was ready for that. But it was a blessing. But children are a heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb, the book of Psalms says, is his reward. Every little baby, whether it's a little baby girl or a little baby boy, is a gift from God. Our children are a gift from God. Not just when they're babies, but they're a gift from God all of their life. That child never stops being a gift from God. Again, maybe some of our kids have gotten off course. Maybe they've disappointed us. Maybe they've created some heartache and heartbreak for us. But it's still true. You would not have that child unless God wanted you to have it. And God gave it to you as a gift from heaven. Children are a gift from God. Friends are a gift from God. People that God has put in your life that you can be yourself around. And they will love you and like you regardless of what you're like. They have decided to be your friend. And if you have somebody like that in your life, if you have a few somebodies like that in your life, somebody that will stick with you, somebody who won't break the friendship, you have a gift from God. And all these gifts are good. All these gifts are wonderful. And we ought to thank God for those gifts that he's put in our life. And I could go on. I mean, he puts other things in our life. But tonight, I want to talk about the greatest gift that God gave us. We read about it in John 3:16, where the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus is the greatest gift that God gave us. He loved us so much that he gave us his Son to be our substitute. He gave us his Son to be the sacrifice to pay for our sins. He gave us his Son so that we don't have to perish. We don't have to go to hell. He gave us his Son so that we can have everlasting life. And so it's the greatest gift that God gave us. I have four reasons for that tonight. Number one, it's a gift that lasts forever. Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Eternal life, the gift that we get through Jesus Christ, lasts forever. The fact that we're saved to the uttermost because he lives forever means that we're gonna have that life forever. Now, some people can say, "Well, my marriage is the same way. My marriage is going to last forever." No, your marriage is not going to last forever. The Bible tells us in heaven, nobody will be given in marriage. You say, "Well, my children will always be my children." No, in eternity, they'll be your brothers and sisters in Christ. You say, "My friends will last forever." No, people will not have friends in hell, and the friends in heaven will be closer than the friends that you have here. Everything that we have in our life that's good and complete comes from God, and the greatest gift that he gave us is a gift that lasts forever. It came in the form of a baby in Bethlehem's manger. It will last forever. The love that we now have in Christ, and you've heard me say this before, we don't have to wait till we get to heaven for eternal life to begin. That life began the moment we asked Jesus to be our Savior. That moment, that life began the moment that we put our faith and trust in him and received him as the payment for our sins, the sacrifice. That's when eternal life began. And the love that we now enjoy in Christ, because we gave our hearts to him, we accepted him, is a love that is the same kind of love that we're going to have in heaven. It's not going to change. The forgiveness that we now have in Christ, that we can enjoy today as part of the eternal life that we have, is the same forgiveness that we're going to have in heaven. The pardon that we have in Christ is going to last forever. The mercy that we have in Christ is going to last eternally. The grace that we now have in Christ is the same grace we're going to have eternally. Jesus is the greatest gift that God gave us because he's going to live forever, and that gift is going to last forever. It's never going to go away. It's never going to be taken away from us. We have eternal life. It's a gift that lasts forever. Number two, it'll never change. It'll never change. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. We sang that little chorus. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Amen. Our spouse will change. No, no, don't sign me up. I'm keeping my other job, Brother Bill. Listen, our spouse will change. Now, I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but if I asked Joe or Carrie tonight, they're going to celebrate their 24th anniversary this week. And I ask, and again, I'm not asking you, so don't answer me. But if I ask them, has your spouse changed in the 24 years? Or is Joe still that same guy that you married 24? Don't answer me, Gary. I don't want to know. I go to some of the other long-term couples in our church that have been married a long time, and I ask you, has your spouse changed in the time that you've been married? And I know what Brother Wayne would say. Carol's gotten sweeter and more lovelier. She's changed, but it's all been for the... I just know what he would say. But we all change. We change. Jesus never changes. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Our children change. Thank God they don't say teenagers forever. Amen? They change. They grow up. They're going to change. But Jesus never changes. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Our friends will change. The characteristics they have as friends will develop and change down through the years. But Jesus never changes. It's the greatest gift because it's going to last forever. It's the greatest gift because it will never change. Number three, it's the greatest gift because when I got that gift, it changed me. And when you got that gift, it changed you. When I got that gift from God, this greatest gift, the gift of Jesus, it changed me from a sinner to a saint. When I got that gift, God took all of my sins and he put them on his son. And he dressed me in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He did the same thing for you. That's why when God looks at us, he can say, I don't see any sin. Because we're dressed in the righteousness of Christ. We've been justified. To God, we're just as if we've never sinned because we're dressed in the righteousness of Christ. When I got changed from a sinner to a saint, I was free from the penalty of all sin. No longer is there a gap or a gulf between me and God. No longer is there a barrier between God and I. I'm his child. I'm his heir. There used to be a couple here. And they don't go to our church anymore. They moved to California. And Brother Clint's not here, but, you know, Chris is Brother Clint and Wanda's only child. And this couple got real close to Clint and Wanda while they were here. And I began to kid Chris. I said, you better watch it. He's going to put them in his will. Your dad's going to put them in his will. You're not going to be the only. And she got worried. She said, I'm going to talk to him about that. I said, you better, because that's what's going to happen. Look, I am an heir of God. And so are you. And you know what? Our Father has enough to go around. The fact that he blesses me doesn't mean he's going to bless you any less. And we have the full inheritance of God. When I became a saint instead of a sinner, I became an heir of a rich Father. I'm a child of the King. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I no longer face an eternity in hell. I'm headed for heaven. I no longer face the judgment seat of Christ. I no longer face the fires of hell, the darkness of hell, the bottomless pit of hell, the worm that dieth not. I no longer face the loneliness of hell. I look forward to walking on that street of gold passing through those gates of pearl, looking forward to eating from the tree of life, looking forward to living in the mansion that Jesus has prepared especially for me, looking forward to spending eternity in the presence of God and the presence of Jesus Christ. You've heard me say before, go ahead and take away the golden street. Go ahead and take away the gate of pearl. Go ahead and take away the mansions. Go ahead and take away everything else that we associate with heaven. What will make heaven heaven is that we get to be with Jesus Christ. We get to live with Him forever. I look forward to the fact that there'll be no pain, no tears, no separation in heaven. There won't be darkness there because the light of the world dwells there. There won't be hunger there because the bread of life dwells there. When I got that gift from God, it changed me. I was changed from a sinner to a saint. You see, sin no longer has power over me. I hear Christians say all the time, well, the devil made me do that. It makes me mad. No, the devil didn't make you do that. If you're a child of God, you have a choice. Christians sin by choice. Not because Satan makes him do it. Yeah, he will tempt us. He will try to get us into situations where we'll fall out of the straight and narrow way. But we as Christians, we as children of God, don't sin because Satan makes us. We sin because we want to. Now, none of us should want to. You see, when we got saved, everything became new. And our wanter is one of those things that should have been changed when we got saved. The desires of our heart, the things that we want, should have got changed when we got saved. And because our wanter changed, the way we live our life ought to change. That's why the Bible says when we get saved, all things become new. All things become new. Sin no longer has power over us. If I choose, I can be bad. But Don and I were talking about it before the service. If I choose to be bad, I have somebody that convicts me of my sin. I have somebody that tells me that I've sinned. I have somebody that tells me I've gotten out of the will of God for my life. And the Holy Spirit directs me back to where I want to go. And He will for every Christian, every child of God. You come to this place and you say, I don't like coming here because the preacher steps on my toes. I don't step on anybody's toes. The Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit of God does. And you better be glad that He steps on your toes because it means you're a child of God. Those people that don't get their toes stepped on every now and then need to examine where they are in their relationship with God because God is going to chasten His children. That's what the Bible says. We ought to live right. We ought to do what God tells us to do. When I was changed from a sinner to a saint, it means I have a promise that one day I am going to live in a place where there will be no sin. I have to live in this place, and so do you. We're no longer under the power of sin, but we still live in the presence of sin. I hate what sin does in this world. I hate to see the effect that sin has on homes and see those homes broken. I hate to see the effect that sin has on children and see parents that don't treat their children right. I hate to see what hate and greed do to people and how it breaks relationships and strains relationships. But one day, you and I, because we've received the greatest gift of all from God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've received Him and we've made Him our Savior, one day we will go to a place where there will be no sin. Sin will be banished, sin will be cast into hell, and forever we will be in that place where there is no sin. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And then number four, God gave us the greatest gift of all when He gave us Jesus because it's a gift that lasts forever. It's a gift that never changes. It's a gift that changes us. Number four, it's the greatest gift of all because it's a gift that's meant to be shared. When other people give me gifts and I share some of that with you, then the part that I have for myself is diminished. So somebody gives me a pie. my favorite pie. I'm not going to tell you what it is, because I'll end up with 20 of them, and then it won't be my favorite pie anymore. But I have a favorite pie. Somebody gives me a piece of pie. Well, I know that that pie is John's favorite pie as well. And so I cut him a piece and bring it to him. You know what that means for me? I have one less piece, because I've shared that gift with him. Maybe it's Brother George's favorite pie, and I say, well, I'm going to give Brother George a piece. You know what that means? Now I have two less pieces of pie. I mean, I could have had the whole pie, but because I shared it with somebody, I now have less pie than I had when I started. Do you know that's the same thing for the other wonderful gifts that God puts in our life? If I let Patty spend time with her sister Madeline, and they love to spend time together, but you know that means that she has less time to spend with me? It's true. Same's true of your spouse. If you let your spouse, I mean, when Kelly and Carol spend time with each other as sisters, it means Andy has less time with Carol and Brian has less time with Kelly. I mean, that's just the way that being married works. You have a limited amount of time with your spouse. If you share your spouse with somebody else, it means that you have less time with them yourself. Same thing is true of you and your children. Little Anna, I'm glad she loves so many people in this church. I'm glad that you love her. But every time she gives you a hug and kiss, that means there's one less for me. Every time she comes running and reaches her hands up to you like that, that means that's less one time for me. That's the way it works with our children, our spouses. That's the way it works with our friends. If we share our friends with other people, it means they're going to have less time to spend with us. But when God gave us the greatest gift, when he gave us the Lord Jesus Christ, it's unlike any other gift in our life. Okay? Because if I share him with you, I actually have more of him. Doesn't work like every other gift does. When I share him with somebody else, it actually draws me closer to him, and I have more of him than when I started. That's how it works. And again, you want more of Jesus? You want more of him? Then share him with somebody else. And then share him with somebody else. And share him with somebody else. And share him with somebody else. You'll find the people that spend a lot of time sharing Jesus with others, be it their testimony or tracts or inviting them to church, however they share Jesus with others, you'll find that they have more of him than when they started. Because that's the way this gift works. So the greatest gift of all he gave us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like any other gift, you have to take it to make it yours. In John 1:12, the Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." But as many as received him, as received him, as received him, that took the gift. That took the gift of eternal life. That took the gift of Jesus Christ. What a shame it is at Christmas time, in the season where we give gifts to each other, that so many people will reject the greatest gift that God gave to mankind. Amen. Even at this time of year, they'll reject the gift of Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean we ought to stop sharing them. I mean, people are going to say no. They're going to say, I don't want anything to do with them. But it doesn't mean we ought to stop sharing them. It means we ought to share them more. We ought to share them more. Greatest gift of all was given to us by God when he gave us the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for that gift. What a wonderful, precious, unspeakable gift it is. It's a gift that'll last forever, never change. It changes us. And a gift, the more we give, the more we'll have. I pray that we'll be a grateful people tonight, that we'll be a people that just praise you and thank you for sending your son. Born in a manger, lived a perfect life, went to a cross, died for our sins, paid the price that we owed so that he could offer the gift of eternal life to every person. I pray if there's one here tonight that's never received it, tonight would be the night they make that decision to do it. Help them to see their sin. Help them see the price that Jesus paid on Calvary. Help them to come and receive it. And then, Father, for the many Christians that are here, help us to relish the gift that you've given us. Thank you for being so good to us to give us your only begotten Son. I pray you'll bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.